This is a rescue dode of Mayor Risk LLC, and today's brief podcast is an update on what is happening in the Sahel region. Today is the 29th of May 2020, and welcome to the Mayor Risk podcast. Up until now, the Sahel region appears to have dodged the bullet, with the impact of the coronavirus being extremely minimal. Although the five main Sahelian countries have no capacity to properly identify how many COVID-19 cases there are, the number of people who died from the virus may be a better indicator, though likely not comprehensive or complete. Collectively, the countries of Burkina Faso, Mali, Niger, Chad, and Mauritania recorded 273 deaths from the virus as of the 28th of May 2020. In contrast, the four countries of the north, that is Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, and Egypt, collectively lost 1,725 people to the virus, or six times more than the Sahel. This comparison may be a bit unfair considering the difference in population sizes, so it is better to normalize the data by translating it into the number of deaths per 1 million people. On average, the Sahel shows 3.6 deaths per 1 million people, with each of the five Sahelian countries showing between 3 and 4 deaths per 1 million people. In the north, however, the average for the four countries combined is double that of the Sahel at 6.2 per million, where each country appears to have different profiles. Tunisia fared the best at a death rate of 4 per 1 million, essentially matching the Sahel, while Algeria shows the worst performance at an alarming 14 per 1 million. For now, Mauritania appears to be the least affected country in the entire northern half of the continent. Only 19 people were reported to have died from the virus as of 28th of May. It is difficult to pinpoint exactly what led to such a low number, but the fact that the country's borders are not easy, or have never been easy to cross actually, may have impacted the infection rates. While the public health crisis that crippled the world is having very limited impact on the Sahel, that region sadly faces unprecedented security challenges, heightening the instability that could further deteriorate going forward. One of the main sources of instability are the plethora of jihadi groups that have been wreaking havoc in the region. The last news now shows that there is an ongoing bitter war between Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State group for the territorial control of the Sahel. This conflict marks the possible end of cooperation between the two in what could be an escalation of violence in the weeks and months to come. But local analysts warn not to jump to conclusion, as the two rivals could find new ways to collaborate. On the ground, the Al-Qaeda-affiliated organizations, and there are many of them, have reorganized under a coordinated alliance called GSIM, or GSIM. For years, the two have been coordinating some of their actions, even using each other's fighters. The first sign of a conflict between them began early this year, starting with minor skirmishes and then escalating into major confrontation, in particular in Mali and in Burkina Faso. Now, among the causes of what appears to be a full-blown war that we're seeing in the Sahel may be the change in the top leadership of the Islamic State after IS announced its new chief, Abu Ibrahim al-Hashmi al-Qurayshi, who replaced Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. That likely spurred the need for Islamic State to ascertain itself, as it's doing elsewhere, for example in Mozambique. After suffering defections of many of its fighters, including the ethnic Fulanis, in favor of Islamic State, the GSIM, or Al-Qaeda, allegedly started a war against the caliphate, according to accusations published by an Islamic State weekly media outlet called An-Naba. Another reason for the worsening relations between Al-Qaeda and IS is the difficulty these groups are facing in procuring food and crops needed to feed their fighters. A Malian expert told AFP news agency that the dry season tends to start with violent clashes among insurgent groups in central Mali over a fodder crop grown in Niger River Delta called Bourjou. The region has seen intense fighting over its control, spiking this year after Islamic State fighters moved into the central Mali region, challenging the local Al-Qaeda affiliate known as Katibat Messina, or the Messina Platoon. There were reports of 16 insurgents killed in mid-March in central Mali and possibly 35 Al-Qaeda fighters in Burkina Faso near the Mali border in April also were killed. On 7 May, Annaba recognized that there was a conflict in the region where several dozen fighters died in April. The month of May appears to have seen some truce put in place, most likely due to the month of Ramadan. The truce, if any, appears to be holding as we enter the month of June, but there is obviously a great deal of uncertainty. While the future of the relationship between the two remains unpredictable, as they can resume their cooperation based on changing circumstances on the ground, each group is taking strong positions wherever they can. In Gourma, Al-Qaeda seems to have taken the advantage there. It has been logistically supported by a local Katiba, reinforced by a few former combatants from the now defunct West African affiliate of Al-Qaeda known as Mujao, enabling Al-Qaeda to regain control of this highly disputed area. The fiercest battle was said to have taken place in mid-April at Ndaki, 65 kilometers east of Gosi, where a large number of Al-Qaeda combatants reportedly attacked Islamic State. The latter claimed to have turned the situation around using suicide bombers, but local sources say the area remains under the control of Al-Qaeda. Now, similar fights were reported in Nampala near the Mauritanian border and in Segu, east of Messina. In March, more clashes were reported near the Mauritanian border. In Fasala, where Jassim defections for IS were reported earlier this year, and in early April in the Mopti region in the center of Mali. Al-Naba says Jassim assaults were repelled and reported the killing of more than 35 opposing fighters south of Boulakessi. In Liptako Gourma in Mali and in Burkina Faso as well, Islamic State attacked Jassim fighters near Tintabakat in mid-April. In the provinces of Soum and the Oudalan province of Burkina Faso, more fighting was reported during the same period. In Belehede, located in Soum, Islamic State used roadside bombs on Jassim convoy, killing several people. More of the same sort of attacks and counterattacks were reported elsewhere. Islamic State has also launched propaganda attacks against Al-Qaeda, accusing it of serving the interests of France and its allies in the Sahel. It even accused Al-Qaeda of having negotiated a deal with the Malian government to secure the borders with Algeria and Mauritania, directly attacking Qaeda leaders Iyad Agrali and Amadou Koufa. But the populations of the Sahel are not just experiencing mayhem from terror groups. They're also facing brutal government forces that use summary executions and are known to be behind enforced or involuntary disappearances. The UN's Multidimensional Integrated Stabilization Mission in Mali, or MINUSMA, calculates that human rights violations in Mali rose by a stunning 61.2% on the sequential basis in the first quarter of this year to 598. The death toll from violent incidents in that quarter reached 380 people, including children and women among the victims. Most of the murders took place in Mopti, in the center of Mali, and in Segu, which is located halfway between Mopti and the capital Bamako in the south. The violence there has been the result of communal fights between ethnic Fulanis and Dogons, but then there has been also an increase in attacks and violations from the defense and security forces. Although most of the killings and abuse can be traced to insurgents and communal conflicts, including the alleged involvement of the Tuaregs, known as the coordination of the Azawad movements and the Movement for the Salvation of Azawad, the MINUSMA recognizes that the region's defense forces have caused tremendous harm. In a report, MINUSMA noted the increasing involvement of the Malian defense and security forces in human rights violations, in particular in the center of the country. Extrajudicial executions are increasing, reporting about 101 victims in the first quarter of this year, in the circle of Niano and in the circle of Duenza. Elements of the Malian forces, some of whom operating under the aegis of the G5 Sahel, have also been responsible for multiple human rights violations, including 18 cases of arbitrary executions. Now, MINUSMA reported 34 extrajudicial executions in the hands of the armed forces in Niger, which took place in the first quarter in Inikar and Chinagodar and elsewhere. So in conclusion, the coronavirus may be the lesser problem facing the population of the Sahel. There is simply no leadership able to put forward and implement a plan to restore some stability. Governments there are in disarray, and foreign governments, France in particular, have no appetite in imposing a solution that will bring stability. In fact, with the COVID-19 crisis affecting France so badly, it remains to be seen how this will impact France's posture in the region in the long run. What is certain is that the jihadi groups have not shown any clear sign of retraction or hit the pause button. They are likely to escalate their attacks even if they are divided and may continue to fight each other. Until our next podcast, thank you for listening.